Food is fuel for your body, your mind, and definitely your sport. But let's face it, nutrition is confusing, and the expectations on girls and women to be thin and have a six-pack are exhausting. If you've ever been frustrated with your body, confused about nutrition, obsessed with eating healthy, or guilty when you don't, underate, overate, or overtrained, and overwhelmed with all the pressure, then this podcast is for you. Nutrition can be easy. You can take control of it, but it might start with letting go of control by asking for help and making a change. I'm Lindsay Elizabeth Cortez, sports dietitian and owner of Rise Up Nutrition, where I empower female athletes to overcome nutrition concerns and perform at their highest level, to stop being confused by all the mixed or harmful messages, and finally have confidence in your body as a fierce, fit, and fueled female athlete. Today's episode is sponsored by Inside Tracker and supported by Orgain and Practice Better. Stay tuned to hear more about these amazing companies that I'm partnered with. But for now, let's get to the conversation. Hey, everybody. It's me, Lindsay. I'm here for a solo episode today. I hope you guys are excited because I am. I've definitely had intentions of doing more solo episodes and I've had so many ideas in my head, you know, like when you're out on a run, you get these great ideas. When you're in the shower, you get these great ideas. When you're right about to fall asleep and then boom, this like great idea pops in your head and you're like, this is not the time. I need to be sleeping. And then, you know, when I have the time for, you know, to work, it's like, oh my gosh, work just keeps piling up and clients who I love serving and helping, but that's the number one priority. And so then like, these great podcast ideas and solo episodes definitely just get continually like pushed aside. But I have a list in front of me of topics that I want to do. And so I am making an effort to do, we're going to get at least one solo episode a month because we have so many good, awesome guests and I really love interviewing them. I think you guys enjoy it too. And kind of the rotation between like an expert and a professional in the field, and then like an athlete story or a client story. But I think it's hopefully you're part of the reason you're a listener of this podcast is because you hopefully enjoy my input as well as a registered dietitian, as a sports dietitian, as somebody who, you know, helps female athletes fuel their bodies. And so I think these solo episodes are important. Today's topic is going to dive into carbohydrates. And we'll just see where this conversation with myself goes. I have some notes in front of me, but yeah, I just want to talk about carbohydrates. I'll tell you why in just a moment. But to give you a sneak peek for some other ideas I have for the next coming months, if I can truly stick to my intention of one solo episode a month, I definitely want to address some stuff around the holidays and diet culture and, you know, how to best prepare yourself and fuel yourself throughout this season, which I know can be tricky for people. I also want to do a deep dive on like supplements and multivitamins specifically, because I've actually, my views on this have changed recently and I want to share with you why they've changed on that and the research and things I've been learning about supplements in general, but more specifically, I think multivitamins, not just supplements, like multivitamins specifically. I want to talk about underfueling, what it is, what it isn't. Definitely want to address Red S. As many of you know, that's a specialty of mine, is helping female athletes overcome and or avoid Red S, which is relative energy deficiency in sport. And I did do a whole episode on that in the very beginning of this podcast. It was actually episode number 2, what is Red S? So if you really want to know that right now, go listen to that episode. But I hope to do not just like a refresher, but like new information on it, maybe a different lens and not only Red S, but under fueling, because I think there are differences. And some of you have that huge question of like, okay, if I don't want to under fuel, but then how do I change body composition? Because that's everybody's, especially in our diet culture that we live in, it's like, everybody says you need to be in a caloric deficit in order to lose weight. And so what if underfueling is so bad? Like it just gets conflicting, right? So I know you probably want the answer to that right now, but I'm going to make you wait for a future solo episode so I can really give it the time and attention that it deserves. I want to talk about like athletes' plates and building your plates for performance and just kind of like the difference between fueling as an athlete, competitive athlete, fueling as a recreational athlete, fueling as an active person versus fueling as a non-active person, kind of like go over some of those differences. That's just a sneak peek. I have so many more ideas, actually, because like I said, it's been a really long time since I've done a solo episode, and I have ideas all day long, and I'm having conversations with clients and other female athletes all day, every day. And so there's so many things I can talk about, but that'll be like the upcoming sneak peek. So I hope you're excited about it. Let's definitely dive into carbohydrates today. So first, I kind of want to share like why I want to talk about carbs. It seems like too general of a topic, right? But here's the premise of why I want to talk about it today. As a sports dietitian, I mean, that's like sports nutrition 101 is athletes need carbs, fuel with carbohydrates. So that's something I have believed in and preached in and taught my clients and done myself for a very long time. At the same time, we have diet culture, which is very anti-carb. There's always low-carb diets that are being promoted or recommended. There's a lot of fear-mongering narratives around carbohydrates make you fat or make you gain weight or increase your insulin or increase your blood sugar and increase your insulin and cause long-term diseases and inflammation. And there's so much information out there about reducing your sugar or choosing the good carbohydrates, not the bad carbohydrates. So there's this stark contrast, right, between like athletes need carbs and then like the other half of the messaging is like, don't eat carbs. It's so two-faced. But another reason I really want to talk about is I am in the camp of like believing in carbohydrates, fueling with carbohydrates, recommending that. And even still, I have in the past 6 months, even my eyes have been opened even more to like the importance of carbohydrate. So back in August, when the last time I did a solo episode, I shared with you guys about our alumni program. And that's any client of mine, a past client, a graduate of the Fast Track can then enter the alumni program. And every month we like give a new deep dive topic. And myself and Jenna, our other registered dietitian on the Rise Up Nutrition team, as we're doing these new topics, we're digging into the newest and most recent research. Like we're looking at research like 2018 to 2022, like really recent research. And not only is this great for our girls and our clients, our athletes that we're working with, but it's been really awesome for me and Jenna as well, just to like really keep up with the newest research out there. And so since the inception of the alumni program and digging into some newer research, I'm just shocked about how no matter what topic it is that we're talking about, the research always comes back to carbohydrate. So we decided to do a topic about hydration. And even in that topic, it was like, well, the amount of carbohydrates affects how well hydrated you are. Because if you're on a low carbohydrate diet, then your body doesn't hold on to hydration as well. And you just turn into, you know, a straw where water goes in one end and out the other. And your body doesn't like hold on to it as well. So in our topic about hydration, carbohydrates were brought up of like, well, if you want to be really well hydrated, you got to make sure that you're eating carbs. Okay. And then we did another topic about post-workout recovery. And of course, everybody assumed like, oh, we're going to be talking about protein for recovery, muscle recovery, not being sore, getting the proper recovery after a workout. And it was like digging into the research. It was like, no, it's all about your carbohydrate intake, how well you recover, how well your energy is restored, your muscle glycogen, your performance the next day, reduced soreness. All of that stuff was all based on your carbohydrate intake, not your protein intake. Protein intake matters. Don't get me wrong. It matters. But when it came to nutrient timing, actually, it was your carbohydrate intake that really determined recovery. And that was just, again, it was like, I knew that as the sports dietitian, I knew that, but like seeing the research and really like, there's such this focus on protein and I'm not discrediting protein. Hear me out here. Protein is important, but our society puts more of an emphasis on protein and not enough emphasis on carbs. And it kind of should be swapped for recovery. Okay. And then we did another alumni topic. We did a deep dive on iron and my mind was just blown. Jenna found this recent study from 2022, just this past July. And I'll just link it in the show notes so you guys just kind of have that reference. But we were looking at hepcidin, which is a peptide hormone in your body that your liver creates. Hepcidin regulates your iron use, uptake, and use. And the higher hepcidin, the less iron your body can uptake and utilize. So you don't want high hepcidin, right? Well, guess what? Energy deficiency alone increases hepcidin. After just 3 days of being in a state of energy deficiency, your hepcidin significantly increases and therefore your iron absorption and ability to use throughout your body decreases. And get this even further, energy deficiency plus low carbohydrate diet. If your diet is, in this particular study, 39% carbohydrate diet, as compared to a moderate carb, 63% carbohydrate diet. If you were in the low carbohydrate diet, you had even greater increases in hepcidin. And the higher your hepcidin, the less your body will be able to absorb and utilize iron. So all you athletes struggling with your iron absorption, you're like, I'm supplementing. How come my iron levels and my blood aren't budging? I'm still dealing with anemia. Carbohydrates, carbohydrates, carbohydrates. It even comes back to carbohydrates when we're talking about iron deficiency and anemia. You got to make sure you're eating enough carbs in order to make sure that your iron is actually being absorbed and utilized properly in your body. So this is why my eyes are like, you know, just really opened even more. As I said, I've always been a big carb fan. Eat your carbs, enjoy your carbs. Athletes need carbs. Like, those are my mantras, right? But I think that the last few months, I'm like shocked and like laughing at it. Jenna and I, she should be on this podcast with me. Honestly, we like kind of laugh about it. We're just like, it's all about carbs. Like, that's it when it comes to female athlete performance. Okay, I'm joking about that. That's not it. It's just, that's so important. It's so important. If we're talking about your performance, obviously we know that that is what your, well, I shouldn't say obviously, some of you maybe don't know. Obviously I know, but I'm here to help educate you that your carbohydrates are the number one thing that your muscles use for energy. That is your number one fuel source. It is the fastest and easiest and quickest to break down. It is all that your body uses in high intensity. So when you're sprinting, when you're lifting, when you're doing short bursts of things, just high heart rate, high intensity, you are 100% using carbohydrate. Your body does not use protein as fuel. It only begins to do that when we are tapping into, like in a life sense, like severe energy deprivation. At that point, your body will attempt to use anything as fuel. If we're talking in an athletic sense, during endurance sports, as you keep going and going and going and not refueling with carbohydrate, which I do not recommend, but if you keep going and going, you're on hour three, like you might be using about 5% of your energy to keep you going might be coming from protein. And then as you're on hour six, like maybe 8% is coming from protein because your fuel sources, your carbohydrates and your fats might be running low. So, but that's not very much, right? Like, we're talking 90 to 100% of your energy used during training, performance, competition is carbohydrate. And the higher intensity, it's like 100% carbohydrate. So we know you need carbohydrates for performance. I've just educated you on the importance of carbohydrates for recovery and how your post-workout carb intake affects your muscle glycogen, and your muscle glycogen levels dictate your performance and all of your repeat activities, as well as just like your energy levels throughout the day. And then carbohydrate intake even influences your hydration, and it even influences your iron absorption and absorption of micronutrients. It's like, it's just so important. So here are a few other things that I wanted to talk about besides just those little things that like really opened my eyes over the last few months. But this is why it's so frustrating, is like diet culture continues to promote low carb diets, or just like the message of like, watch your carbs, or the message of like, don't eat too many carbs. Like, they could be bad if you don't eat them in moderation, blah, blah, blah. And I just think another issue with diet culture is like, how do we even define that? Because as a dietitian, I will share with you that I have literally, this is a true story. And I'm not going to tell you where it happened, when it happened, this person's name or anything, but true story. One time I had an athlete that filled out a form to talk to me. And in this form, it mentioned that they are currently plant-based, gluten-free, low-carb. So that's how they described their diet. And they were coming to me because of, I believe it was some GI concerns. And so I was like, oh, there's a lot to investigate here. Like, how long have they been plant-based, gluten-free, low carb, and why? And I already had a red flag. So I'm like, why are they low carb when this person is an athlete? And then the other red flag for me was just, do they have celiac disease? Like, why are they gluten-free? And so I just had questions for this athlete. And upon further investigation, this is a true story. Upon further investigation, when I met with this athlete and they started to explain to me their choice of words in describing their diet as low carb, plant-based, gluten-free, simply means that their coach told them to start making some healthier decisions and that they shouldn't go to Chick-fil-A so often. And so they were no longer going to Chick-fil-A all the time. And instead, they were doing some grocery shopping and buying some things to make themselves a sandwich at home. And I said, oh, okay. So like, so do you make like vegetarian sandwiches? And they were like, no, I buy deli meat. And I'm like, oh, okay. So, but you're focusing more on plants. And they're like, yeah, by not eating fast food. And I was like, okay. So you're still eating meat, maybe just trying to eat more vegetables. That was their definition of plant-based. And then I asked like to clarify the gluten-free and low-carb stuff. The gluten-free just meant for them that they weren't eating as much bread. They had no clue what gluten was or all the products that it was in. So they just weren't eating bread. And same thing with the low-carb. Since they weren't eating bread as often, they therefore considered that to be low-carbohydrate. Bread and fried foods is what they were attempting to reduce. So I really hope you're not taking offense to this because I am kind of poking fun at the story. But like as a dietitian, this person came into me hot, like labeling their diet. And then I was like, whoa, that's not actually what you're doing. You just stopped going to Chick-fil-A so much and you're not eating as much bread and fried food. And look, we had a great session and I was able to help this athlete and guide them towards the right choices for their body. So that's great. But getting back to my point of like, what does low carb even mean? What does that even mean? Okay. So because for this person, it just meant not eating as many sandwiches and fried food. For somebody else, that might mean, you know, that they're not eating so many starches, bread, rice, pasta, potatoes. For other people, it could mean that they're literally counting their carbohydrate grams and macros, right? Like, and I'm not saying this to promote it. Part of me is really sensitive to my population of listeners and knowing that disordered eating might be part of that because it is for so many female athletes. Like, I do not want you getting into the nitty gritties of these low carb diets and of like keto diets and things like that. But I do want to share with you, like in research and stuff, what do we consider a low carbohydrate diet? So in research, for the most part, anything that's like under 45% of your total caloric intake being carbohydrate, anything under that is considered low carbohydrate. So I mentioned a study earlier when I was talking about hepcidin iron, they classified low carbohydrate diet to be if 39% of your diet is carbohydrate, meaning that you've got, you know, 61% combined fats and proteins and only 39% come from carb. They define that as low carb. And that's pretty consistent with the research. And this is because the U.S. Dietary Guidelines for Americans does recommend that the average American, which we can debate, but the average American should eat 45 to 65% of their diet from carbohydrates. So basically anything lower than 45 is considered a low carbohydrate diet. So with that being said, you know, even something like the traditional zone diet, that's a 40-30-30, 40% carb, 30% protein, 30% fat, that's considered a low carbohydrate diet. I honestly do not know the macros of following a Whole30 diet, but I do know that Whole30 is cuts out a lot of carbohydrates. So that would probably be a low carb. Keto diet's definitely low carb. That's not a percentage. I could figure it out, I'm sure, but they go specifically by grams under 100 and sometimes under 50 grams of carbohydrate, under 50 grams in order to get to a state of ketosis, and then usually a maintenance phase of under 100 grams. And that's incredibly low because actually just quick math, let's go with 50 grams. That's only 200 calories worth of carbohydrate. And that's obviously like if you were on a 2000 calorie diet, which again, we can debate, but that would be less than 10%, right? So that's super, super, super low. But so that's some of like, I think in research, we're going to classify, and this is different for every study because it's actually in scientific research, it's really difficult to control people's diets perfectly. So there's usually a range of like, you know, if it's under 40% carbohydrate or, you know, so some participants might have had 35% and some might have had 40%, you know, but just like in that range. But anyways, that's what in scientific research, when we say low carbohydrates reduce performance or result in slower time trials or result in more hepcidin or increase inflammation in the body, those types of things, I would say it's probably a carbohydrate diet that's less than 45% of your total diet. But this could be very different than, you know, what your friend, teammate, mom, sister perceives to be a low carbohydrate diet. You know, maybe they just perceive it to be something lower than what they're currently doing. Or maybe they are taking it to the extreme to assume that a low carb diet really means no carbohydrate. I absolutely will share with you a dark, dark period of time in my life. This should be another solo episode. But one time, one time I did do a figure competition when I was young, and dieting was absolutely part of that. And I learned many lessons from this, which is part of my story and why I do what I do now. But I took it to the extreme when I learned, oh, I should be doing a low carb diet. I was even counting the carbohydrates of my vegetables, which is wrong. It's absolutely wrong because there's so much fiber in vegetables that kind of like you're not, and it's not the same type of, you're not getting complex carbohydrates that actually like fuel your body and get stored as glycogen in your muscles. But so some people are taking it to the extreme, and I was one of those people, and anybody prone to disordered eating or anybody that is negatively influenced by diet culture is probably taking it to the extreme. But there's this whole other part of the population that might be talking about their low carb diet. And if you actually look at what they're eating, it's not that low carb, just like the athlete I shared with you that just wasn't going to Chick-fil-A anymore. It was like this athlete was still eating fruit, having potatoes, having rice, eating granola bars, drinking Gatorade. They were certainly not on a low carbohydrate diet, which was good. I didn't want this athlete to be on a low carb diet, but everybody's perception of it. And so I think I'm going on a tangent, of course. I hope you're enjoying it. But my point here to kind of combat diet culture, honestly, is to not believe people. When somebody tells me that they're doing low carb or cutting out their bread, like I don't even believe them because people lie about their diets all the time. And look, there is no judgment from me. I don't care if you lie. If you're a client of mine, I don't want you to lie because we're going to struggle to make progress on your fueling. But there's no judgment because I know why people lie about it, because they fear being judged. People lie about their diet because they fear being judged. And so I will not judge you. I will never judge anybody on how they're eating. But because of that too, I just honestly, like, first impressions is like, if you tell me you're following low carb, one, I don't necessarily care unless, again, you're a client of mine. But like, I'm not going to be like, oh my God, like they're doing that. That works for them. Maybe I should be doing that, because we have no clue if their version of low carb is actually low carb. I hope I'm making sense, but I just want to combat those messages in diet culture of people like always recommending low carb, because it's like, I just don't know what that means to them. And it might be very different than that, what that means to me as a dietitian. And I want you to keep that in mind as well, as somebody who is exposed to the culture of nutrition around you every single day. And what other people talk about is like, you know, like to each their own. Hey fans, I hope you are enjoying this conversation, but an important part of it is a word from our awesome sponsors. Today's episode is brought to you by Inside Tracker. Thanks to Inside Tracker, I've been able to catch iron deficiency and anemia on two different occasions in the past few years. And with this, I was able to kickstart my recovery to better fueling and workouts without having to coordinate doctor's appointments or wait around for my lab results. With Inside Tracker, I'm able to get my blood drawn whenever I want to and see everything that I want to. Personally, I get the ultimate plan a couple times a year to check up on my blood biomarkers and nutritional status. And thanks to Inside Tracker, I'm able to implement science-based nutrition and lifestyle recommendations immediately after results come in with their user-friendly online platform and personalized action plan. This is why I've been able to reverse iron deficiency so quickly, because my health is in my own hands when I'm using Insight Tracker. Created by leading scientists in aging, genetics, and biometrics, Insight Tracker analyzes your blood, DNA, and fitness tracking data to identify where you're optimized and where you're not. You'll get a daily action plan with personalized guidance on the right exercise, nutrition, and supplementation for your body. And when you connect Insight Tracker with your Fitbit or Garmin, you'll also unlock real-time recovery pro tips after you complete your workout. It's like having your own personal trainer and nutritionist in your pocket. For a limited time, you can get 20% off the entire Insight Tracker store by heading to insighttracker.com/riseup. There's a lot more that it can show you and that you can do with it besides just your iron. That's just my personal experiences. So again, head to insighttracker.com/riseup. That's R-I-S-E-U-P for 20% off. Back to the show. I did want to allow us to go a little bit deeper into like the types of carbohydrates in this episode as well. So I always like to super simplify this for clients because again, like diet culture is like, there's good carbs, there's bad carbs, there's sugars, there's processed carbs, there's refined carbs, there's natural carbs. And let's make this as simple as possible because nutrition actually is simple. There are two types of carbohydrates. There are complex carbohydrates and there are simple carbohydrates. So your complex carbohydrates on a molecular level, they look complex. They are multiple chains of glucose molecules bonded together. They've got like, if you can imagine like this really big old tree that has like tons of different branches and each branch has another branch coming off of that and then twigs coming off of those little branches. It's just like this really like big, large, complex molecule of carbohydrate glucose molecules making it up. That is a complex carbohydrate. And so if you were to then think about chopping down that tree, it would be quite difficult, right? It would be like, we have to start with cutting off this limb and then we have to cut off another limb and then we can maybe tackle the base of the tree. And even then, when I cut off the limbs, I then still have to cut off the branches even more. I hope this metaphor is landing well. This is literally, as I'm speaking out loud, the very first time I've given this metaphor. But that's a complex carbohydrate, and the metaphor is how your body breaks it down. It actually takes time and effort to break down a complex carbohydrate molecule. And because it takes time and effort, it gives your body more time to see the release of those glucose molecules into your bloodstream. And so you see the slower release of energy. So complex carbohydrates give your body a slower release of energy over time because it takes time to break it down and digest it. I'm going to come back to that metaphor in just a moment with the complex carbohydrates. Now we're going to shift over to simple carbohydrates. Simple carbohydrates is really just one or two glucose molecules, one or two. So this is like a stick in your front yard. You can just go pick it up right now and you can snap it in half, right? That is a simple carbohydrate, which is AKA sugar. That is what we call sugar. You can go pick up a stick in your front yard and you can snap it in half is the same way that you basically eat a food that is a simple carbohydrate. And very quickly, it is energy in your body. You can break it down so quick and use it as energy right away. So those are your complex carbs and your simple carbs. So in real food terms, your simple carbs, your sugars are going to be, well, let's just start with sugar, like table sugar, honey, maple syrup, brown sugar. It literally does not matter what the color is, if it came from a natural source or if it's cane sugar or if it's honey. It does not matter if it's sugar in the raw. It is, at the end of the day, it is one or two glucose molecules that your body absorbs and digests. And now you have a source of energy. Boom, done. And your body, it's like, it literally, a glucose molecule is a glucose molecule. Your cells of your body have no clue if it was table sugar or maple syrup. It's a glucose molecule. Okay. Other sources of sugar can be naturally found in our fruit. Our fruit is typically fructose. It's another type of very simple sugar that your body digests. It does digest it slightly differently than glucose, but it's energy just the same in the cells of your body. And then another simple sugar is when fructose and glucose are bonded together, and that makes sucrose, which is actually the table sugars that I was just talking about, the honey, the table sugar, the brown sugar. So this is what I'm saying. Fruit is fructose. And then most of our sugars are going to be sucrose, which is fructose and glucose. It's just, you can eat straight glucose, and you might find this in your sports nutrition products, like on some gels and chews and stuff. It might just say glucose right on the back, or like maltodextrin or something like that. But these are just one or two simple glucose or fructose molecules. That's, again, it's like a stick in your front yard. You can pick it up, you can break it, meaning you eat it, you break it down, you've got energy right away. Going back to the complex carbohydrates, which are these, you know, trees with branches and limbs and twigs and leaves all on them, it takes more time and effort to break it down. So it gives you a slower release of energy over time. Now, these complex carbohydrates are mostly your starches and grains. So this is your bread, your rice, your pasta, your potatoes, your quinoa, your farro. And a really important thing here is it does not matter if it's Ezekiel bread or white bread. It does not matter if it is white refined flour or whole wheat flour. It's still a complex carbohydrate. Now, the difference, this is our third category. Now, as I was saying, is there's only two categories, complex and simple carbohydrates. But within the complex carbohydrate, some of those branches of your trees are actually, you know, attached to the tree through bonds that you cannot break down. So we call those fiber bonds. So I guess if you're an arborist where it's your job to cut down trees, like there in this metaphor, there's going to be a point where you just can't cut that branch off the tree. You just can't saw it as good as you try, as great of an arborist as you are. Like it just, this branch cannot be broken off of this tree. That's because that's a fiber bond. Okay. So in your body, you're eating this complex carbohydrate, but there's a fiber bond that your body actually cannot break it down. You do not have the digestive enzymes to break it down, and therefore you don't. That kind of sounds bad in some sense of like, oh, if I don't break it down, then I'm not getting energy from it. You're right, actually. As an athlete, too much fiber, you're not actually getting the same amount of energy. And this is why sports dietitians, myself included, are actually okay and comfortable recommending white flour and refined grains and white rice, because sometimes you just need to increase your carbohydrate and energy intake without these fiber bonds limiting it all the time. So if increasing carbohydrate is your goal, you can and should do that without focusing on it always being high fiber carbohydrates. Trust me, fiber is important. So even though your body doesn't break it down, something in your body does. That's the bacteria in your gut. You as a human do not break down, your digestive enzymes do not break down fiber bonds, but the bacteria in your gut do. And this is super important, one, to regulate your digestion, your ability to go to the bathroom regularly. Also to build a good microbiome of gut bacteria. And your gut bacteria regulate a lot of things when it comes to your health. Your gut bacteria play a role in your hormone production, in your weight, in your brain development. There's a lot. And this is a huge like area that nutrition science is continuing to work towards. We don't have all the answers. There are some estimates that there might be more bacteria in your gut than there are stars in the sky, which I cannot even fathom. But the point here is that it is very important for you to eat fiber in order to have good gut bacteria because of how important that is for your health. So yes, you do need fiber. However, not all of your complex carbohydrates need to be fiber. Okay, so I'm saying this because when it comes to my actual clients, and perhaps this is relevant for you as well, when you are an athlete, digestive issues are quite an issue, right? Like you don't want to be having to go to the bathroom or having loose stools during a game, during a run, during a race, during a practice. Nor do you want to be feeling the being weighed down and bloated with constipation all the time, right? So the amount of carbohydrate and or fiber that you take in might be affecting this. I see two different sides of the story when it comes to fiber. I have clients and athletes and people I talk to in my life that are not getting anywhere near the recommended amount of fiber. average recommendation for fiber is going to fall somewhere between 25 to 35 grams of fiber a day. And I would say the average American probably lands around like 15 grams a day. I know a lot of listeners to this podcast are not the average American. So this is why, like, in my head, I always have like a little asterisk when I say things like that. It's like we can debate whether this is applicable to you or not. But I do know that a lot of clients that I have worked with in my lifetime as a dietitian actually aren't not getting enough fiber. And so when people are actually complaining of digestive issues, I can look at how much fiber they're taking in and just be like, why don't you try and increase that by 5 or 10 grams? And then over the next course of the next few weeks, like their gut's actually a lot more regulated. So that's great. But in my more specific population of female athletes and female athletes who are really focused on eating healthy and taking care of themselves, unfortunately, this ends up being that you get scared of eating the refined carbohydrates or the white carbohydrates or the sugar and simple carbohydrates. And instead you're focusing only on the whole grain and high fiber carbohydrates because you've heard about all the benefits of fiber. And it's true, there are a lot of benefits of fiber. And then next thing you know, you're actually eating way too much fiber. And I will tell you, this is 9 out of 10 of my current clients. 9 out of 10 of my current clients are over-consuming fiber by 150 to 200%. So where the recommended amount is 25 to 35 grams a day, I have clients that are eating 70, 80, 90 grams of fiber a day. And it's funny because they're complaining to me about how bad their stomach hurts and how they feel bloated all the time. And it's like, whoa, you're way eating too much fiber because your body can't even digest that. And so you're eating so much fiber that it hurts your stomach. You're so bloated. Plus, you're actually not getting as much energy and carbohydrates that your body and your muscles actually need to perform and to recover and to help you hydrate and to get your iron levels up. And so one of the things I actually work on with clients is, hey, bring your fiber down, but make sure you're still eating carbohydrates or actually increase your carbohydrates. So we actually swap your Ezekiel bread for some regular bread, for some sourdough, for, you know, just this awesome, delicious roll from the bakery. We actually switch your multi-grain seedy crackers to pretzels, to saltines, to Ritz. And some of you are like freaking out as you listen to this, but try it. If you are an athlete that has been stuck in the diet mindset, that maybe has been not getting enough carbohydrates, that's been so focused on eating so much fiber that your stomach's actually hurting from this, try reducing your fiber, but increasing your carbohydrate through, it could be just like regular pasta, just like enriched pasta. Like, you don't have to get the chickpea pasta, ladies. You don't have to. Like, it's cool that it's got protein in it, but you can just eat regular pasta and chicken for your protein, right? And then you're actually getting carbohydrate, helping your performance as an athlete, and you're still getting protein, but you're not way overdoing the protein, undercutting the carbohydrates, and overloading the fiber. You know, I had a client this past summer who was struggling with amenorrhea for over 2 years and also had all of these digestive issues. And she was super, like, definitely her identity was wrapped up on being the amazing athlete and being that healthy girl. And we really had to work on this, that, hey, like, that's cool that your identity is the healthy girl, but let's face it, you're actually not healthy right now. You've been injured. You haven't been able to participate in your sport. You haven't had your period in 2 years. So actually eating all these whole grains and fruits and veggies all the time actually isn't helping you. You actually do need to eat the Ritz crackers, and you actually do need to eat the saltines and the white enriched pasta, and that will make you healthier. And she did amazing in our program. She did exactly that. She was definitely one that her fiber was like 90 grams and she brought it down over the course of 12 weeks. She learned how to make the appropriate food swaps and she was able to bring her fiber down to more around 30 to 35 grams, which means that she is healthy because she's getting the amount that she needs for gut bacteria, for proper digestion, for lowering cholesterol, et cetera, et cetera. But she's not way overdoing it. And it took her 4.5 months to restore her period, which is great, and get back to her sport, which she was also recovering from injury, but she was able to, you know, this fall, she's almost back at full capacity. So these are things that when it comes to performance and being healthy as an athlete, like these are those nuances that diet culture just doesn't get. The other point I wanted to make about this particular client, and I can't dig into the research on this right now because I'm running out of time on my solo episode, but too much fiber does independently block estrogen production. And so it actually does make sense in the cases of things like breast cancer, where women are actually recommended to eat cruciferous vegetables and increase their fiber intake because it can actually block estrogen production a little bit. Well, in the case of amenorrhea, you actually want to reduce your fiber because that might be one of the things that's blocking estrogen production, as well as blocking your carbohydrate intake and your optimal fueling needs. So that's a little tidbit there. So kind of going back, as I'm talking about, so with athletes, like we actually do really need to focus on these carbohydrates. I have another quick client story about a client I've been working with for quite some time now. I think we're going on year two of working together, and her progress has just been so amazing. She did do the 12-week female athlete system of transformation and did amazing in that, but she's chosen to stay with us as she was tackling some other goals of hers. So since this is a long-term client, I'll say, I've absolutely been telling her to increase her carbohydrate this whole time. And she has, from where she started, she has. But she came to me this fall just being like, Lindsay, like my iron's still low and I just have the heavy legs all the time. Like, what could it be? Am I getting sick? Like, I thought my nutrition was doing so good. And I said, girl, like you're doing a lot. You're doing better than you ever have. But if I'm being completely frank with you, you're still so far off from your carbohydrate goal. And you know, even as I was telling her this, I was just like, man, I've told her this so many times, but for some reason, I forget what I said during this session, but it finally clicked that session. And I think she also just got fed up with her legs feeling so heavy and so tired all the time. It's like, she's putting in so much work. Why is this still happening? And I said, give it a shot, give it a week, really follow through with increasing your carbohydrate. And with that, you know, it can actually come with, you don't need to eat quite as much protein. Like you're meeting your protein goal. Like you don't have to add in the protein bar for a snack. You could just have a bowl of cereal, or you could eat a granola bar. You know, it doesn't have to be the protein choice all the time. Even when it came down to things like milk, she would drink the higher protein milk, which is something even I drink. Like I'm not saying it's a bad food. Like I love Fairlife milk. It's higher protein. I love the taste of it. But it was like, you know what? You could actually just have regular milk. You don't need the higher protein. You have the regular milk that actually has lower protein, higher carbohydrate. You could have regular chocolate milk. And so it clicked finally that session with her. And I said, give it a shot for a week, have pasta every night for dinner. I sent her over some recipes. I said, make those little swaps, no more protein bars, just do dried apricots and a granola bar. And she messaged me back within 3 days and was like, I just had the best workout ever yesterday and I'm not sore today. It happened that fast. Within 3 days of a higher carbohydrate intake, she wasn't feeling those heavy legs, right? Because going back to what I mentioned in the beginning of this episode, your muscle glycogen and the ability for your carbohydrate intake to repair your depleted muscles and build up that glycogen will dictate your energy levels and your performance. And she felt that right away. And I'm so proud of her because it doesn't matter how long it took, but she's finally doing it. She's finally embracing that athletes need more carbohydrates. We need a higher carbohydrate diet. So let me go back to where I kind of defined scientifically what a lower carbohydrate diet is, maybe for an athlete perspective, then what is a higher carbohydrate diet? Well, again, the dietary guidelines for Americans recommend 45 to 65% of your diet being from carbohydrate. And when we look at most research studies, as I mentioned, lower carb is going to be under that 45 or under, and high carb is actually just going to be probably around the 60 or 65. We do have research in carbohydrate loading and muscle glycogen saturation and supersaturation, where carbohydrate intakes might be as high as 80, 90, 95% of your dietary intake, but those are typically for short periods of time because that is neglecting proteins and fats, which are essential for health. So in our scientific research, looking at appropriate high carbohydrate diets for athletes and where we see the benefit of carbohydrates, it's usually coming from 65%, 60 or 65% of your diet. So I'm going to share some numbers, not to be triggering or to feed into diet culture, but just for awareness. I just want to put this into perspective. So I am going to be sharing numbers in grams right now. I also am ashamed to say that I'm going to use a standard 2000 calorie diet to start, just because that's something I think a lot of us can relate to because we've heard it so much, right? Okay. So a diet that's 45 to 65% carbohydrate on a 2000 calorie diet is going to be 900 to 1300 calories from carbohydrate. So I just want to say that first and foremost, that what is considered healthy could be up to 1300 calories from carbohydrate in your day. And I just want to pause there because there are some of you out there that I know are only eating 1300 calories total in a day. Or you might be eating 1500 calories in a day. And I'm talking total calories. Like, you're supposed to be having at least 1300 only from carbohydrate alone. Okay, let that sink in. What that means in grams, just for those of you, that's anywhere between 225 to 325 grams of carbohydrate. I know this isn't individualized nutrition. I know I don't know you. I don't know your activity level. I don't know your height and weight, blah, blah, blah. But let that sink in. 225 to 325 grams of carbohydrate. Remember I talked about the keto diet earlier? 50 to 100 grams. Whoa, whoa. Normal is having 300 grams of carbohydrate a day. That is normal. That is healthy. Okay. Now let's put this in more athlete terms because 2000 calories a day is not a standard diet for a female athlete. So I obviously cannot give individualized prescriptions. And this is the danger of, you know, sharing numbers and information like this on such a generic platform. But let's just bump it up to 3000 calories. Okay. Lots of female athletes are consuming 3000 calories a day. So 45 to 65% of that is carbohydrate. That's 1300 to almost 2000 calories of carbohydrate a day. So it would be appropriate for a female athlete to eat almost 2000 calories a day of straight carbohydrate and then extra calories for your proteins and fats all day. Where the average, you know, American or person entrapped in diet culture is always thinking like, oh, 2000 calories a day should be a max. Like, no, you should be eating at least 2000 calories a day straight from carbohydrates. That is a very real possibility for you as a female athlete. And what does that turn into in grams? This could be anywhere between 340 to 500 grams of carbohydrate a day. 500 grams of carbohydrate a day. I will tell you, as a sports dietitian, I have instructed my female athletes to eat 400, 450, 500 grams of carbohydrate a day, and they have done amazing. They have felt great. They've had so much energy. They've recovered well. Their labs come back better than ever. I'm not saying that this is the right number for you. I don't know you. I'm not saying you should whip out my fitness pal and start tracking your grams. That could be unhealthy. That could be an unhealthy habit for you. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying you need to start looking at labels. But if you are somebody who's been trapped in the mindset of not eating many carbs or fearful of carbs, or even in the athletic world, there's this whole train low, but compete high mindset. Like, we can dig into the research on that. And it's not overwhelming. It's not. Just train with carbohydrates and you'll do better overall. That's just it. It's like, sure, there's some research out there, but at the end of the day, you're still compete high. So why don't you just train with good carbohydrates too? For most athletes, that's going to be the best situation. So I don't have any great way to wrap up the solo episode. Besides that, I hope I got you thinking about the importance of carbohydrates. I really do. And I really hope that you just consider making those changes in your diet to see what your potential can be as an athlete. You can feel better. You can have more energy. You can perform better. You can recover faster. And you can go crush a workout and then come back and still be dancing and singing in the shower. And that's actually personally, that is how I define whether or not I know I'm fueling well. If I can go crush a workout and then come back and dance and sing in the shower, then I'm like, I'm doing good with my fueling, right? Because you're able to prioritize performance, but also live your best life. And carbohydrates will help you do that. So ladies, I hope you enjoyed the solo episode. Please go eat your carbs, your simple carbs, your complex carbs, your fibers in moderation, and enjoy all the ways that carbohydrates can benefit your life. Excited to dig into a topic with y'all again next time. Fans, thank you so, so much for listening. But before you go, I don't want you to miss out on things that I know you need. First, if you need help overcoming nutrition concerns, perhaps something we talked about in this episode, look no further. You have your female athlete specialist in sports dietetics right here. So head to my website, www.riseupnutritionrun.com, and book a free call with me to learn more about how I may be able to help you. My flagship program, the Female Athlete System of Transformation, aka the Fast Track, helps female athletes overcome disordered eating and perform at their highest level. The life-changing transformations that we help clients with don't just happen by listening to podcasts. It happens by taking action with people who are guiding you to your goals, aka me. So call me. Head to the website, www.riseupnutritionrun.com, and book it in. Take action, overcome your nutrition struggles as fast as possible. I am here to help. Second, don't forget about our amazing sponsors, Inside Tracker, insidetracker.com/riseup for 20% off. Also, we are supported by Orgain. If you are an athlete in need of a quick fueling option with clean, good ingredients, look no further than Orgain. I absolutely love their ready-to-drink whey-based shakes for post-workout on the go. As a listener of this podcast, enjoy 30% off your first order with the code RISEUP30. All caps, RISEUP30. Last, if you are a dietitian, coach, or health professional needing a platform to manage your business, coordinate with your clients, invoice, communicate, and more, look no further than Practice Better. Get a 14-day free trial and 20% off your first 4 months by clicking the link in the show notes and using the code RISEUP20. I've been using Practice Better for 4 years now to manage my business, and I promise it's the best way to manage your practice. Look, ladies, since you are doing all of those things for you, my last request, if you're willing, is to do something for me. Please head over to our ratings and reviews, leave a 5-star rating, leave a positive review if you like this podcast, and please tell a friend about this amazing podcast or an episode that you think they need so that you and others around you can be fierce, fit, and fueled. Until next time, fuel fiercely.